Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, Bobby Connor is coming Friday. I hope you're planning on being here. If you're not, you need to change your plans. Be here. He's going to be here Friday and at 7. Is that the time? It's supposed to be 7. And it's going to be a wonderful time with him. I'm really looking forward to hearing what God has to say to us as a body and as a church as a whole. He has a lot of words for the church as a whole. And he really speaks truth, and he's a very authentic person, very genuine. He's not. Don't put on a lot of airs. He is who he is, and he's a mighty man of God with a strong word, a great word, and an encouraging word. But he will get the crooked ways straight when he brings the word of God to you. And I hope you plan on coming. Please plan. I mean, I'm asking you as your pastor, be here Friday night. Be here for the plan on being here for the whole weekend, because it's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome time. Amen. Go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 5. I mean, you know that we have a lot of things that we're facing in this country as the people of God. This nation needs you. Amen? Amen. Few of you. This nation needs you. Amen. It is the truth. This country, this county needs you. God is in the process of building you and I to be vessels that are a fully committed people to following him, no matter what the situation, no matter what circumstances, no matter what culture is saying. He is building a people that will follow him in the midst of when it's dark, in the midst of when there's a lot of fear around, in the midst of when there's a lot of chaos. He has a people that follow him, and he's building us into that position to be able to walk with him, learn his ways, and to be able to reflect who he is. Amen. And to show forth his glory, to show forth his excellencies, and to be able to be a people that will be strong, know their God, and will do great exploits. How many of you know that inside you is the ability to do great exploits? But you got to know your God. That's what he says. Know your God. He said the people will know their God, and they will do great exploits. They'll do great things for him. They'll do things that are impossible for them to do, but he can do it through them. Amen. There was a time when, over in Acts 5, there was a time when the disciples were facing a situation, and they were laying hands on people. They were bringing healing to people. The lame were walking. The blind were being able to see. And a lot of things were moving and happening as they walked with God, as they walked with Jesus and walked in his authority. Everybody say his authority. And walked in his authority, they were able to accomplish things that it's impossible for them to accomplish out of their own being. And that's the truth. But they did this, and the Bible says in Acts 5 that more believers were coming to them, but they were a group of people that dared not to associate with them. So there's people that's going to be dare not to associate with Christians. They're already there, they're already here, and that number is growing. But there was a group of people that believed in it enough that they were bringing the people that were on cots and pallets, and they were laying them just close enough for even the shadow of Peter, if possible, for his shadow to touch the people. And people were being healed. Unclean spirits were being cast out of them. Verse 17. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates and the sect of Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail. And the angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of prison, and taking them outside, he said, "Go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple." What should I speak? The whole message of this life. And that life is capital. The whole message of Jesus. And upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought out. But the officers who came did not find them in prison. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And they returned and reported back, saying, "We found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing at the doors, but when we had opened up, we had found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed. How can this be? They were perplexed about them as to what could come of this. What in the world could come of this? But someone came and reported to them, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." You know, I'm sort of like the old A-team. I love it when a plan comes together, don't you? Then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence, and they were afraid of the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they stood before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men." And the God of the fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death, hanging him on the cross. And he goes on, talks about the forgiveness and the power of the Holy Spirit and how we are to obey. When they heard this in verse 33, they were cut to the quick, and they were intending to slay them. But a certain Pharisee named Gamaliel, the teacher of the law, respected by the people, stood up because they were about to kill him. And he stood up and said, "Listen, men of Israel, take care of what you purpose to do with these men. For a time ago, Theudas also arose, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 joined him. And when he was slain, all those who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. And after this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered." Now he's given a scenario of two men that had raised up people to follow after man and man's ways. And this is a very wise man that is saying this, and he's a teacher of the law. And he says, "And so in this case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan of action should be of men, it will be overthrown. It won't last." You got it? If this thing is just of men, it won't last. "But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Or else you may even be found fighting against God." And they took his advice after calling the apostles, they flogged them. The exclamation point of man toward Christianity: we just won't give you orders, we'll persecute you. And they ordered them, once again, do not speak in the name of Jesus. And then they released them. They beat them, persecuted, flogged them, and then told them again, do not speak in the name of Jesus, and then sent them on their way. Verse 41, so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing. that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And that's not all. And every day, everybody say every day.
Amen.
Say every day.
Amen.
Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus the Christ. There came a time in their lives when they upset the culture. You need to understand that this was not a law that was already written. This was a council meeting of people meeting together to be able to decide what should we do at this very moment that's going to ease this situation in man's view. And then they made the decision, no more speaking in Jesus' name. Put them in prison. Angel unlocked the prison. They came, went out. Angel took them out. And he says, now go on about your business and start, keep on preaching and keep on, to teach the whole message. Teach all about Jesus. Just keep on. You're going to upset culture when you present a life that is lived following Jesus. And that is the truth. We have a lot of chaos going on in the world today. We have a lot of things that is happening. But I honestly believe that a lot of Christians are being sucked up into a criteria, into a choice that someone other than God has given them. I'm not here to talk about statues. Whether they stay up or whether they stay down. I'm not here to talk about that. I will say this about it. You need to be careful. If it is erasing history, be careful about allowing the history to be taken from you and to be taken out of the way, because if they can do that, they can produce the future that they want you to have. But what I am here to do today is to address what's going on, and I'm not afraid to address it. What's going on is lawlessness. What's going on is a spirit of lawlessness that is operating in our country, been operating for a long time, been accelerating for quite a while. And we are not partakers of lawlessness. My Bible tells me, what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? That's what my Bible says. And you know the answer? None. Say none.
None.
We've been served up the plate, so to speak, by the media. We've been served up the plate by culture. We've been served up the plate by the world and wanting us to choose between the two groups. I've got news for you. My choice has already been made for me. It's not this group or that group. It's not. But the enemy serves it up in such a way that every time he does it and he wants us to choose that, it will bring division every single time. Why does it bring division? Because he knows the word of God when it says, a divided house will not stand. A nation divided against itself will not stand. So how in the world did we get here? I mean, I look at social media, which is sometimes is antisocial to all, and I see Christians just boom, and I'm like, why are we doing this? Why are we presenting this in such a way that is not loving and all? It's just, we just feel so dogmatic about something. And and when somebody reads it, they don't even read love. Listen, sometimes it's better not to post. It's better to pray instead of post. in a lot of situations. I want to say, how in the world did we get here? It started way back then. It started with a group of people not wanting to follow the ways of God and wanting to do something more that is humanistic. We have why we are here today in this culture that we see is because we no longer hold true as a valid thought process, a biblical worldview. We have traded the biblical worldview, not all of us, but we're trading the biblical worldview for a humanistic worldview. What does that mean? That means that man, in a humanistic way, man is the center, and whatever man wants at the moment is what man's going to get, and that's what we're after. In other words, he is the center of everything. It has its own knowledge and therefore does not need the knowledge of God, does not need the revelation of God, because humanistic reasoning, humanistic thinking is all about me at the moment. Statue's been around since 1880. 1880, they've been around. Why now? I can tell you why. We've traded facts for feelings. And all of a sudden, because I don't feel good, you have to listen to this. And I'm talking about any crisis you want to pick. There are sides that's going to be presented that they want you to pick one or the other. And then once we do that, we fall prey to this thing of being humanistic instead of having a biblical worldview. What is a biblical worldview? That when you and I become Christians, guess what? Our view should change, yes or no? If you're going to walk with God, you need to have a biblical worldview, not one that is driven by feelings. Well, I feel this every time I see that. I'm telling you, it won't stop with statues. There's over 1,500 symbols of Confederacy in this nation, over many, many states. I see trouble. Why is that? Because we're taking sides and we're not hearing the heart of God in the midst of what's going on. Hear what God is saying. Look at it from His point of view and not from a humanistic point of view. Hear it from His point of view and then begin to act accordingly. But let me tell you something. Just like the disciple, it is going to upset culture when you do that. But that's the reason we're here. Why else are you and I Christians? So I can sit in a soft chair, air-conditioned building, sing songs, and then go about my way and just live ever how I want to live. That's not why you're a Christian. You're a Christian to make a difference. You're a Christian to be able to show forth His light, to show forth who He is, and to let His life begin to be fully lived in you and through you. I'm telling you the truth. I really am. When we start trading facts for feelings, we're in trouble. We start trading truth for theory. Well, you know, we think this way this time. Humanism is like this. The situation comes up, and just like they did, situation comes up, and we'll get together, and we'll make the decision of what is best for culture, what do we think is best for culture right now. And we'll make the decision based on how we feel right now. Well, it hurts so-and-so's feelings. Well, it hurts this feeling. Well, this person's not happy. My Bible tells me that in the last days, there are going to be people that's going to be offended. And there's going to be a lot of people offended. There are going to be a lot of people offended because of the truth. There's going to be a bunch of people. And he said lawlessness will increase. And because lawlessness has increased, the love of most people will grow cold. What the Bible say? He said, then you'll begin to betray one another, and you'll also begin to, what's the word? Hate. Hatred. Then you'll begin to hate one another. Why is that? Lawlessness has increased. Do you think lawlessness has increased? And it's going to increase more. Why? Because they won't be offended by the horses and the statues. It'll be something else. Matter of fact, they'll probably want the cross taken down. Oh, excuse me. They already want that. They're already asking for that. Why? It's offensive. I'm offended at it. Where has the church been? Where has the church been for 40 years, for 50 years? Where have we been? Where is Christians that stands up with a Bible-believing value that comes from the biblical principles of God? Where are we when we stand in the face of being put in prison, being flogged, just like them? It was a group of people that got together and says, no talking in the name of Jesus. Why? Humanistic. We don't like that, don't want that, makes us uncomfortable, so therefore don't do it anymore. That's how humanism works. That's not a biblical worldview. I know my Bible tells me that says when you follow me, you're going to feel persecution. They hated me, they're going to hate you if you follow him. Well, I don't want to be hated. Well, then don't follow Jesus. And some aren't. And he says, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. The only way you're going to reign with him is go through the tightness of the struggle with him. Not by himself. He said, anybody that wants to be, that has a desire to be my disciple must do what? Deny himself. Pick up, he didn't say pick up Jesus' cross. He said pick up his cross. Pick up your cross. And then follow him. There is a cross to bear. And there's a reigning to share. And that's the way of God. So society, culture, media, they'll all try to prepare a plate for you to eat, all to, you and I to eat, to partake of, and choose what they serve, what they serve up. Listen, your choice should already be made long time ago. I taught Scott when he was little. I said, son, you need to make a decision right now about drugs. Right now, you need to make a decision right now about if you're going to do drugs or not. Because you will have the opportunity to do them. You will have the opportunity for it to be handed to you, given to you, not purchased. You need to make the decision now that you're not going to do it. Don't wait till the peer pressure comes. Do it now. So with this thing of being, having a biblical worldview, and what does that mean, and versus being swept by this thing of humanism. In other words, it's all about the moment, how we feel at the moment, which makes everything relative, and there's no absolutes. That's what the enemy wants. He don't want any absolutes. He wants everything to be relative. Why? Because he can twist and manipulate and change. See, humanism doesn't have absolute. Everything has to be relative to right now, what's going on, and this is how I feel, so therefore this is the decision that we've made. And humanism will push an anti-God philosophy upon us if we let it. And unfortunately, we have bought into it way too much. So you may say, Pastor, you seem a little bit riled up. Well, hold on. You know, our founding fathers were not all Christians, but they all, listen, they were not all Christians. They were not all Christians. A lot of them were, but they all believed God was the creator, and God was the one that gives them inalienable rights, which means they cannot be taken away because they were not given by man, they were given by God. And they signed their name even to their death, if need be. So they were believers. They might not have been all Christians, but a lot of them were. People want to fight that. People want to fight the foundational pieces of this thing. And all of it, all it amounts to is this humanistic value system. How do I feel right now? What makes me feel good right now? Well, that must be good. Surely God will want me to feel good. Surely God will want me to feel okay. Surely God wouldn't mind. Because I get pleasure from this. Well, my Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. So you begin to understand. Well, here's the question. What do we do? I know what I'm going to do. We'll just get on Facebook and just blast away. Well, you know, that will not change society. And that is not light. That is a darkness participating in darkness. There is a loud shout from heaven, I think, and I think with all this thing with the solar eclipse, which we'll talk about in a moment, I think with all this thing, God is speaking loudly in the heavens. The question is, are the Christians paying attention? Are we paying attention to what God is doing, paying attention to what God is saying? Are we paying attention to what the Word of God says? Are we paying attention to the leading of the Spirit of God? See, this thing with humanism, it will bring you to the place that you will become lawless because you will not have any respect. See, lawlessness will lead you to anarchy. Anarchy means to be this thing of having no concern for government. None. And that, my friend, will lead you to tyranny, which will be oppressive, harsh, and a difficult government bearing down on you, which caused the men to rise up and say, no more. We have a right of our own religion. Anyway. So what do we do? How do we start this? There's so much to share about this, and my time is gone. First Peter 2 says, "You are living stones, been built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people of God's own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. You once were not a people, but now you are a people of God." Galatians 3:26 says this, "And now you have faith in Christ. You are all sons of God, and you've all been baptized into Christ." Say, into Christ. "And you have put on the family likeness of Christ." You're in a different family. Everybody say, gone.
Gone.
Gone is the distinction between the Jew and the Greek. It's gone. Excuse me. There is no Jew, nor Greek, nor slave, nor free man, nor male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, the reason you're here, the reason you're a Christian, is because you're one with Him and you're here to make a difference. And how you should fight is to fight on the side of what He says. Did you hear me? You are not here to fight a war that is comfortable to a culture that you agree with. Did you hear what I said? You're not here to, listen to me. You're not here to be able to stand just because I'm going to stand for this because somebody's a certain color or a certain race. That is not the ways of God. I'm telling you it's not. What is the ways of God? All people are, you're now my brothers. You are now my sisters, regardless of your color, regardless of your status, regardless of who you are, where you came from. You're my brother and you're my sister. I cannot hate. I don't need to hate you. I don't need to fight you. Amen. We have to be a people that is going to stand for the things that God is standing for, and say, I'm here for the Republicans. I'm here for the Democrats. Well, we've already lost the battle. Whichever one you choose, we've already lost the battle. Why is that? Because he didn't send you here to be a Republican. He didn't send you here to be a Democrat. He didn't send you here to be a conservative. He didn't send you here to be a liberal. He didn't send you here for that. He didn't send you here to represent them. He sent you here to represent him. And when we're swept away with this thing, oh, it doesn't feel good to be for him. Well, guess what? Sometimes you get flogged. What did they do? They left rejoicing. And then what did they do? They kept on teaching about Jesus. Why? Because that's what Jesus said to go do. So you don't run back to your ethnicity and say, well, this is the war. Now, that's not the war. He's already said, that war is already gone. Why? Because he said, we're one new man. He said, the conflict that is between the Jew and the Greek, but the conflict between us, he says in one version, the war is over because of Jesus. Why? Because we are now new creation, new creatures, with a new way of living, with a new way of life, and with a new love within our heart. And once you receive Christ, we're all brothers. You don't look and say, well, he's this and he's this. We're all one. That's what my Bible says. We're all one. That is a biblical worldview. And when we allow humanistic, I don't like him because of this. Well, we're already following something that doesn't belong to God. That's the reason he said, I beg you. Paul says, I'm begging you. This thing about your work, we sing about all I need to do is worship. Listen, I tell you what, I challenge. The songs that we sing, see how deep it goes inside your heart versus how easy it is to come out of your mouth. Because Jesus said, things can come out of your mouth and your heart not be connected to it. I love the song. I'm not criticizing the song. What we've lost is Abba Father. I belong to you. I'm bought with a price. I am no longer my own. I don't get to choose. Well, do the statues go up or do the statues go down? I don't get. What do I choose? The way of God is where we need to choose. To love the people. Are y'all hearing me? Why? Because, listen, it will not stop. It will not, I'm telling you, it will not stop with statues, flags, and monuments. It won't. A little bit of history. I'm not criticizing anybody. And I know, can y'all just bear with me just a little bit? Don't leave here thinking that I'm against about the denomination that I'm about to speak about, because I'm not. But do you know the Southern Baptist Association? The Southern Baptist was started in 1845, and it was started with pro-slavery and racism. Pro-slavery and racism. Why? They wanted slaves. The Southern Baptists, as a people of God, wanted the slaves. And that's how the Southern Baptists was starting. Now, if you don't believe me, go look it up. And it wasn't until 1995, the Southern Baptists wrote a letter and said and disavowed the things that they had been founded in. I'm telling you the truth. Go look it up. I'm not against them. I'm for them. Why is it? Because they're my brothers and they're my sisters. Do you hear me? They're my brothers and they're my sisters. So let's just jump off the statues and find out, we found out that here's a whole denomination that the root of it was back in slavery. Let's deal away with all of them. It makes me feel bad. Hey, let's take them all out. They have a history of it. They had slaves. They had a history of it. They had a history of being pro-slavery. They had a history of being racist. Let's get rid of all of them. Why? Because it don't make me feel good, Tom. That's what humanism, it will not stop with statues. That's the reason we cannot take sides and start hating our brother. We have got to present, sit down and talk about it and say, whether the statues stay up or statues go down, it's immaterial to me. What's important to me is don't try to whitewash history. Let history be the teaching moment that it is, because if you do away with the history, you're bound to repeat it. Well, that thing about the war being over is in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, you're now, he said, the war's over. It's done. The hostility between you is over. You're one new man. That's the reason you look at your brothers and sisters, do not fight against them. He said, if you start backbiting each other, you will consume yourselves. He said, that war is over. He said, you're now fellow citizens of every Christian, and you now belong to the household of God. So I look at it, and I'll just tell you, as far as I'm concerned, I'm no longer white. Are you hearing me? How would I say it? I'm Christian. Why? Because he says, they're neither Jew nor Greek. You're all one. Why are you making distinctions when I have made you one? I have paid the price to bring you. Do not make the distinctions. Don't major on the distinctions. Somebody asked me one time before, says, hey, which one did you want? Would you rather have? You rather have unity or you rather have diversity? You know what I said? I'm not answering that. That's not one that I want to answer, but I will give you an answer. I want both. If you don't have diversity, why in the world do you need unity? We're all conformed the same way. Why? He made us all diverse and he made us all to be one. We're all different, but we're brothers and sisters, and that's what we have to stand upon. Brothers and sisters in Christ, stop hating one another. Stop being offended over this stuff. Understand what God is saying. Get on board with what God is saying. Follow the very Spirit of God through the Word of God and begin to do what He tells you to do, and then let culture be impacted by our presence. So here's a question. I don't know where we've been in the last 40, 50 years, but here's the next question. Where are we going? Where are we going in the next five? Where are we going in the next five? What kind of Christian are we going to be? Are we going to be one that's going to pick and choose and fight and squabble over all this stuff and let the political spirit overwhelm us? Let the spirit of politics begin to just move upon us instead of the Spirit of God moving upon us? You can tell I came loaded. I saw what's going on. I said, listen, we have got to understand what we're facing. And we've got to understand why we're here. And we've got to understand that there are answers and there are solutions to everything that we go through. But we have to give it the God solutions and not man's solutions. Because man's solutions will not work. That's what the wise Pharisee said. He said, listen, we had two other guys to start all this stuff. One of them had 400 people, and it died out when he died. What did he say? If it's man, it won't do anything. But if it's God and you start opposing this, you got trouble on your hands. Because you will not overcome them. He said, for the people that are serving God, see, the disciples, they were, look, they knew who they were, they knew who he was, and they knew what they were there to do, come hell or high water. They were going to follow Jesus. If it meant flogging, imprisonment, or whatever, they set their face like flint and said, thus far and no more, we shall follow him, even if it means our lives. Sort of sounds like the independence, the declaration, said, even if it means our lives. Well, I hope y'all have had a wonderful time today. So what do we do with this? Understand that you're no longer of your other family. You're the family of God. So your culture is of the culture of the kingdom. We're a kingdom people. Everybody say, we're a kingdom people. There's kingdom living that we should live, and of every situation, there should be a kingdom principle that we're going to find and follow, and not the whims of man. So what do? We repent. We say, oh, you know, I've been caught up. I've been bought up. I've been involved in this. No more. There's something I've got to go do, and I'm going to go do it. And I'm going to do it with him. Don't jump on board with all of this stuff that the world's serving. Sometimes the government serves it up. Sometimes the media serves it up. Just want you to buy into this thing of being centered upon man. No, centered upon God. Biblical, biblical, biblical. It's a defining day. How about you? Is it defining for you? It is for me. Oh, I'm going there. I'm there. All right, repent. Can you repent? Repent means I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going to follow the ways of God. I'm going to understand that I belong to him. He defines me. He is my reality. That's where you're supposed to live. No political party is supposed to define you. None. You define it. Right. No culture is supposed to define you. You define it. Do not let it squeeze you into the mold. Well, repent. Everybody repent. Can you repent?
Yes.
All right. So I've got to change. All right. So we can change. I'm going to switch gears as your pastor, and I'm going to tell you something that's going to take care of you as well. It might not be a spiritual thing, but it is a physical thing. There is an eclipse tomorrow, and solar eclipse. And you need to make sure that you take care of your eyes. If you don't have the proper glasses, I don't know where you can get any now. But do not look up because you think it's overcast, and because it will permanently damage your retina in your eyes, and you'll have blind spots and blurred vision that is irreversible. You cannot reverse it. Make sure you have good glasses. How do you know you got good glasses? Well, you can look and. And it was supposed to be certified, but some of them, they can print that stuff and be a scam. So you can look at the lights in your house and you don't see anything. If you can see the shadow of a light bulb, don't use them. They're no good. They're no good. Don't use them. You with me? Take care of yourself. I'm telling you because I don't want you to have physical issues from this. I really don't. And if you have children, I've got something else for you. We're going to get out of here. I've got something else for you. Don't this look funny? I told John, I said, John, that's not the KKK, I promise. Listen, what is this? This is for your children. It might look like a 9-inch plate to you. But you can put those glasses, slide in these little slits, and these things will stay right here. And those little ones can have that right here without looking up. With just the glasses, they can glance up through it and still hurt their eyes. It's little, but it will help your little ones because they may not be able to control the glasses. I've got templates over there waiting on you. If you have children and they have glasses, their nose will fit right there, their ears will be, and they'll be able to look at it without having to look up and down and all that kind of stuff without it coming in on them. Are y'all with me? I love you. I love you. I really do. I really do. All right. Just look for about 3 minutes at a time and then leave it alone. Then come back 15, 20 minutes later and look at it again. It's okay. All right, Listen, I'm going to tell you something. That's just as much pastoring as anything to me. Because I'm looking after your safety as well as your spirituality. Stand to your feet. Tell the person beside you you love them. Tell them today's a new day. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.